So this is just a kind of roundup of what I think about wine availability in Britain. And sure, this, does also encompass America especially, and other countries in which the excise is, disproportionate on alcohol sales. Immediately and over the last 10 to 15 years. So I can easily remember that it was 2015. I first started reviewing wines for Laithwaite's Wine Club, and some probably 7, 8 years later, I became their top wine reviewer. And within that, I had been to wine festivals, I'd tasted a great many wines, and I'd purchased a great many wines across their different price levels, including on-premer and subscription cases where you agreed to buy the same wine every year. And I had, and probably still have, as as fine a grasp on the entire Laithwaite's wine catalogue, which is about 800 wines, as anyone does. And I have not only a tremendous taste memory for wines, I also have, a really great memory for the varietals of grapes which go into wines. Even the year in which Laithwaite's first started to put that wine into a catalogue and so on. And I can, immediately, theoretically, food pair wines absolutely excellently. Just you mention a wine or a grape varietal, and I say, well, that's going to work really well with, and it seriously does work really well with, and I get a lot of fun out of it. I've learned to be able to tell from the feel of the bottle. So you've got the shape of the bottle, the colour of the bottle, how well or badly the bottle is made, what type of capsule it is, whether it's a screw cap or a cork, the indentation at the bottom of the bottle, if it has one, and then the various wordings on the label. And it doesn't have to be a bottle that I've bought in a shop in Britain. It could be a bottle I've actually purchased in a wine auction online from France. I then received the bottles, and most of those, if not all of those bottles, will have spent no time at all anywhere other than in France, and most of them will only have one label on, so they'll only have a front label, so all of the information has to be contained on that front label, and almost invariably it says product of France. Not 100%, but you would be surprised, it's over 80% of bottles of wine in France actually say product of France, presumably because their biggest market is in fact not France, but England. And so every bottle of wine is labelled with a view to the idea that it could well end up crossing the channel and being sold and enjoyed in England or Wales or Scotland, you know. Still, the population of Wales and Scotland is around about 8.5 thousand, sorry, 8.5 million people. So, when it comes to the British Isles, England is pretty heavy tilted on population. Okay, not necessarily on wine connoisseurs, but on population. And of course, the more Muslims we have coming over here, the less wine connoisseurs we'll have per 100 people, because as far as I know, Muslims don't do alcohol. Okay. So what's happening is constantly you've got a change of, all kinds of metrics within the wine industry. I mean, I don't know, but I would have said 20 years at the most that we've had these huge supermarkets where at least one, if not two, entire aisles are dedicated just to bottles of white, red, and pink wine. It's absolutely amazing. When I was a child, you could buy Vendetable Rouge and Vendetable Blanc, and you could buy Blue Nun, which was in a blue bottle, and you assumed that the wine inside must be blue. That was it. There was also ginger wine, cherry wine, damson wine, peach wine, apricot wine, ginger wine, you know, and port, and various sherries. That was it. That was the wine market when I was a child. Whatever Vendetable Blanc was, I hadn't got a clue. Very occasionally, on special occasions, we had Blue Nun, and to my surprise and disappointment, it wasn't actually blue. It was just a sort of yellow colour. And we drank a lot of cider. Every Sunday we'd have some kind of a roast and we'd have cider. That was when I was single digits child. Okay. When I was single digits child, I could go to the shop and buy cider. It was only until I was about 9, going on 10 years old, possibly a little bit younger, that suddenly the British government decided that cider was alcoholic and children couldn't buy it. But until then, I didn't even have an idea it was an alcoholic drink. I just thought it was cider juice fizzed up in a bottle. Okay. I still think that's true. So, you know, over time, the market for wines, particularly in Britain, has massively changed to the point where the French just assume that most of their wine will probably be drunk in Britain. And it's a standing joke in France that even the Bretons, who are apparently the most drunken race of the French, do not drink anywhere near as much as the English. And we've always had a bit of a laugh that the French drink a lot of wine, but actually the French know full well that it's the British that drink the most wine probably in the world these days. And they don't even grow most of it themselves. It's a bit sad, isn't it, really? So I think early on, let's say, you know, say 10 to 12 years ago, my early apprehension was, how do I go to a shop and there's a load of wines on the shelf, how do I know which one to buy? And I haven't firstly been ripped off horribly, and secondly get home and find I don't like it. And in order to educate myself, I had to spend a lot of money and I had to kiss a lot of frogs and find a lot of wines which actually went down the toilet or on the lawn. Which is, I don't think I've done that for a long time now, because I'm very, very astute now in my wine buying. And I learned to get an idea of not only what it looks like, but what it tastes like in the bottle as I hold it, right? I don't always quite get it right, because this January I bought an Australian bottle called Church Block, and that was a £16 bottle of wine, and it didn't taste anywhere near as good as the wines I've been showcasing on this particular tasting, okay? So price is not actually anymore any idea to the quality of the wine. And what I'm doing at the moment is, until I can get to my wine cellar and clear it out by drinking it, I'm just knocking in under the radar at the supermarket's super cheap wines, and I'm finding that just a few of them are fabulously good quality and way, way above, you know, drinking quality. They're way above that £16 bottle of wine, or indeed any bottle of wine you're going to pay £16 for at this particular given moment, okay? So I highly recommend Co-op's Fair Trade. There's, you know, series. There's five in the series. I think at this present moment, the most expensive of them is £8.15. The cheapest is £6.50, and that's the best. You won't be disappointed with them, and you certainly won't be throwing your money away. They're excellent. And I would always suggest buying two different ones. So if you're not absolutely keen on one of them, you can just blend them together. And that's what I'm doing right now. I've blended the rest of the Carmenere, the Shiraz, which, you know, and the Bernarda Malbec. So I would buy the Bernarda Malbec time and time and time again, especially in this financial climate. It's the best bottle of wine in Britain at £6.50. And next to that, the Beefsteak Liberty at Asda. So Shiraz from Australia. That's really good for £6.32. Okay, so I know I've got two red wines that I can go to, and they're going to be drinkable with a steak. The Shiraz in this series, I'm highly unlikely to buy it again. I didn't think it was much of a Shiraz. I just didn't think it was much of a wine. You know, the Carmenere was a treat. I mean, that's not a grape varietal I often drink, but you already know you're going to get this really, you know, silky smooth, gorgeous sort of crinoline of a wine. Okay, it's a real feminine wine. It's got to be, for me, it's got to be the most feminine white, red grape varietal out there. If you'll excuse my use of the word feminine, it's, yeah, you know, it's just, it's got curves, let's put it that way. So what I've done is I've blended them together mercilessly, and I'm just enjoying them now with some crackers, cheese and cucumbers sliced very thinly. And I'm just admiring the lawn because the groundsman was kind enough to come out yesterday when I was actually out in Sussex, and has presented me overnight with a beautiful, you know, lawn of a lawn. I mean, you could play lawn tennis on it almost. The day before it was just tufted meadow grass. You know, I thought a herd of cows might like to come in and chomp their way through the daisies. But today, no, it looks completely different. And so therefore we have this high sun. We have had a cloudless sky. I've been barefoot on the beach, sand, and then I have this marvellous grass. I'm just going to go out there and dab my toes in the grass. And a nice glass of wine. I do feel winter has finally given up, you know, given up the ghost and buggered off. I mean, I'm sure we'll have a few weeks of penitence yet, but I feel we've gone from the hell of winter into the heaven of spring, summer, albeit with a little purgatory of, you know, April showers and such like. But don't forget, March winds, we've had plenty of those, and April showers bring forth May flowers. Ka-ching! Yeah, so I'm just existing for a couple of months on cheap, you know, British wine. It's not British. I mean, it's just other people's wine that we buy in British shops. And you really cannot do worse than to go, or better. No, sorry, you cannot do better. You could do worse. That's probably what I meant. You could definitely do worse than popping to Co-op and having a go at these, you know, wine varietals. They're quite incredible. I've been a very long supporter of them for at least, I would say, 8 years at least. Very, very good. Yeah, so what, you know, the message that I want you to take away is we're all being severely ripped off by price hikes. The customs and excise continually deciding they're going to pay, you know, charge more and more and more per bottle of wine, and it's going to go ka-chink in their coffers. And what do they use it for? They just splaff it out on foreign aid, you know. I've just bought the fucking wine from somewhere else. I don't need to hand out foreign aid. Do you know what I mean? If they're a worthy country, they're already sending us wine so they could make some money out of that. They don't need any more foreign aid. You know, excuse the expletive, but I'm pretty sure everyone's getting fed up of it by now. So why should I pay out a ton of money on my bottle of wine just to help, you know, some foreign president buy another Mercedes and another fecking palace in the US of A? I'm sorry, but it just doesn't gel with me. So basically what I'm doing is I'm using all of my, you know, stored up and hard won skills base of understanding what you're about to buy when you purchase a bottle of wine. Some of those French wines, by the way, they only have one label, but it's all in French. And that's the highest quality type of wine, because, you know, they just care about what they're doing and they do it in their own native language. And one of those is Chateau Capburn. Sorry, that's an English way of saying however they say it. And that's going to be a really nice wine. But that's 2017. So, you know, to be honest, I think crack on and open even that bottle and just whatever wine you've got in the cellar, just give it a go. You know, you'll only have one or two bottles, you know, maybe one or two cases. But to be honest, by now, we're probably getting to the end of the drinking window for cellared wines. So just crack it open, enjoy it. Don't buy expensive stuff above £8 in the supermarkets at the moment. And, you know, just tell them to shove it. I mean, they're not making any money out of me. You know, I just refuse to pay more than about, well, I bought a white wine the other day, £8.50. That's shoving the oil right out. Forget that, you know, £7.75 max. And it's very difficult to find any decent white wines for that money. So tough, you know, I'll just have to either do without or grow my own. That's it. Yeah, we're just being ripped off at every possible, you know, angle. And it's up to you. Continue to be ripped off. Work into your 168-hour week just to enjoy a couple of hours when you're not actually asleep, when you're not working. Or tell them to shove it, you know. I spend most of my time working out the cheapest possible lifestyle that I can enjoy and how I can imbibe alcohol, you know, as cheaply as possible. So the number one start I'm going to do is I'm going to start home brewing beer. And that's going to be interesting, and it will certainly, you know, add a completely different dimension. And then I'll start to use the same concept on wine. So they can keep putting the prices up, but it doesn't mean I'm going to buy the products. Enjoy. Just believe that doesn't matter how much information you have about what products in the bottle. It's not worth the asking price. And if you can ever find any wine that's cut price, buy it. But expect to put at least half of it down the loo. And, you know, learn to drink water is probably the way forwards at the moment.